has started. To ask your question, please press star 6.
And welcome to 180 Degree Capital Corp's fourth quarter 2018 financial results call. This is Daniel Wolf, President, CFO, and Portfolio Manager of 180 Degree Capital. Kevin Rendino, our Chairman, Chief Executive Officer, and Portfolio Manager, and I would like to welcome you to our call this morning. All participants are currently in a listen-only mode. Following our prepared remarks, we will open the line to questions. If you would like to ask a question, please type star 6 on your phone or click on the Ask a Question icon if you are participating via your computer. I would like to remind all participants that this call is being recorded and that we will be referring to a slide deck that we have posted on our recently revamped investor relation website at ir.180degreecapital.com under news/events. Please turn to slide 2 that contains our safe harbor statement. This presentation may contain statements of a forward-looking nature related to future events. Statements contained in this presentation that are forward-looking statements are intended to be made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These forward-looking statements are subject to the inherent uncertainties in predicting future results and conditions. These statements reflect the company's current beliefs, and a number of important factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed herein. Please see the company's filings with the Securities Exchange Commission for a more detailed discussion of the risks and uncertainties associated with the company's business that could affect its actual results. Except as otherwise required by federal securities laws, 180 Degree Capital Corp. undertakes no obligation to update or revise these forward-looking statements to reflect new events or uncertainties. I would now like to turn the call over to Kevin.
Good morning, and thank you, Daniel. Please turn to the summary of Q4 2018, which is numbered page 2 on the slide deck. It feels a little odd to be reviewing the fourth quarter, given we're in such a completely different environment just 2 months later. Essentially, through last night, as you can see from our public holdings, we have gotten back all the losses that we incurred in Q4. I know a lot can change between now and the end of Q1. We'll have more on that later. Nevertheless, we do need to review Q4, so let's begin doing so. Despite a 6% decline in our NAV, our share price declined 19%. This led to a widening of the discount our share price trades relative to our NAV. That discount was 23% at the end of Q3, 34% at the end of Q4. Now, you know, given the success we have had investing in the public markets over the course of the last 2 years, that I don't think that's the right reflection of our business. And you also know that because between Daniel and I, we're pushing ownership of Tern to the tune of nearly 1 million shares, and almost all of that has been bought with our own money from our pockets. We ended the quarter with $33 million of cash and liquid securities, or nearly $1.10 per share. More on that as we go along. Our public portfolio did have a challenging quarter and was led by declines in Mersana, Adesto, The Street, and Airgame. Our private portfolio was basically unchanged from last quarter. For the most part, this part of our balance sheet has been a drag to our growth in NAV over the last 2 years. However, this quarter it helped cushion the blow of a very difficult market. Daniel will discuss the private portfolio soon. It was a total wipeout for the market in Q4, led by fears of a trade war with China, interest rate fears, an inventory correction in the semiconductor space, and overall slowing global growth, led to weakness and the underperformance of both hedge funds and long-only equity funds and private equity funds, led to massive redemptions at the end of the year. HFR Global Hedge Fund report says investors redeemed $22.5 billion from hedge funds in Q4, while Lipper reported $57 billion in redemptions from equity funds. It was one of those markets where selling begets selling, begets selling, begets selling. It was the first time in history that the S&P ended the year down when after the first three quarters it was up. It was the worst December for the S&P since 1931 or during the Great Depression. The Russell Microcap Index was down 22% for the quarter and 13% for the year. At one point from its high earlier in the year, the Russell Microcap Index had declined by nearly 30%. So no, this was not your normal correction and not a normal sell-off. This was a slower-moving market crash, just like the one that we experienced in 1987. This one just took longer to play out. Nobody likes to lose money, but against all of this, our public market stocks outperformed their benchmarks and were actually up in 2018. In Q4, we were able to protect our balance sheet by having a greater-than-normal cash cushion. Cash was intentionally greater than 10% of our assets because we, too, had building concerns about the market as we were ending the year. All in all, in the face of what was a clearly challenging 2018, we grew our book value. I know from looking at the Lipper data that you can count on one hand the amount of funds that generated a positive return for their shareholders. We are pleased to be one of them. We certainly survived the year. Next slide, please. This slide shows our NAV over time. The Russell Microcap Index is actually down for the two-year period ending 2018, which is when 180 Degree started. Against that backdrop, we have grown our book value 13%, and this is after some restructuring charges we took on the eve of turning Harris & Harris into 180 Degree Capital. So all in all, we were up last year, and we were up for the course of the last 2 years against the Russell Microcap, which is down 1.5%. Next slide, please. This shows our NAV over time. The Russell Microcap Index, the next slide is sources of changes of our net assets. We show you this slide every quarter. It's the sources of change in our NAV for the quarter. Firstly, we were aided by a reversal of an accrued bonus in Q4. What does that mean? We have repeatedly told you that our management team is aligned with its shareholders. If we meaningfully grow our book value, the management of 180 Degree Capital would share in that growth. And if we don't, we won't. It's as simple as that. Through three quarters, given where our NAV was, there was an expected comp pool for the management team, and we accrued for that during the first three quarters of the year. Given Q4's performance, we 100% reversed that accrual, and as such, there will be no bonus pool for the investment team. Our public stocks cost us 16 cents in the quarter. Our private portfolio was down a penny. Our normal expenses of 2 cents led to an ultimate decline of 17 cents for the quarter. Next slide, please. This slide is a source of change in our net assets for all of 2018. Led by a 10% gain of performance in our public holdings, we generated 12 cents of gains. Private portfolio cost us a penny. Normal expenses of 7 cents led to a total gain of 4 cents to our book value, or 1.5%. Next slide, please. Here's our scorecard for the 2 years since we started. As you can see, most of the gains generated here are in our public portfolio, 45 cents of gains to be specific. The private portfolio added 8 cents of gains. Normal expenses lead to a 13% gain in our book value against a 1.5% decline for the Russell Microcap Index. Other than waiting for a big monetization event from the private portfolio, I don't even want to think about what would have happened to our business had we not turned Harris & Harris into 180 Degree Capital. Next slide, please. Here's our weighted average return of our public portfolio in Q4, down 16%. Like the market, we suffered as well, not as much, but still very painful. As I look at this, I would say we have been negatively hit more so by the trade war chatter than anything else, specifically as it relates to our exposure in the technology space and IoT in particular. We clearly think the market has overshot its concerns here, and as such, we spent 30% of our cash in the quarter on both old and new names. We'll have a few comments to make on these names in a second. But as always, if you have a question on any of these, please ask them when we're done with our prepared remarks. Next slide, please. Our public positions absolutely had a tough Q4 of 2018. Mersana decreased by nearly 5 cents a share, or 59% in the quarter. There is really no company-specific news in the quarter that can be identified as the cause of the decline, other than the NASDAQ Biotech Index declined 20% in the quarter, and the last thing you want to own is an early-stage biotech company that needs cash to fund its business. I think as I look back at our performance in the quarter, this was the one that I kind of I hit ourselves over the head the most, because I should have read the tea leaves a little better here. In Q1 of 2019, Mersana announced termination of one of its development programs to focus on the second program. This should aid its cash on its balance sheet. And, you know, just like the decline in Q4, because the world was ending, given the robust nature of the market in the first quarter, the stock is actually up 73% through February 25th. Adesto hurt us by a nickel as well. There is no company-specific news as well that can be identified as the cause of the decline, other than the fear of a trade war with China and what that would do to the technology supply chain. The entire semiconductor sector declined due to the China trade war plus excess inventory. The SOX index declined by 15%. You're just not going to have a stock that's up in a sector when everyone is selling, and the index in general is down 15%. Like Mersana, this has clearly reversed itself in Q4. They reported last week, and the stock is up 39% through February 25th. Airgain fits the same bill as Adesto. It was down last year because of fears of the China trade war, and the rest of the technology complex hurt us by a couple pennies. They reported earnings a couple of weeks ago. They were better than expected. The guide was better than expected, and the stock was up 24% through February 25th. So back to my point about where we are currently, you know, I can basically sit here today, and if the quarter closed today, we would have erased all the gains from all the losses from last quarter. Next slide, please. Here is our weighted average performance of our public companies over the course of last year. If you told me that we would essentially have a market that was down 13%, would I accept a 10% gain in our public holdings? Clearly the answer to that is yes, 100%. Next slide, please. Here is our weighted public company performance for all of 2018. And again, I'm sorry, for the 2 years ended 2018. And again, if you told me that the market would be down 1.5% over the course of that period of time, would I have accepted a positive 43% for our portfolio? The answer to that would also be yes. We've had four doubles in our portfolio over the course of the last 2 years.
The recording has started.
Adesto, USA Truck, Turtle Beach, and The Street. We think we've done a fairly good job of managing the public market portfolio over the course of the last 2 years. Next slide, please. This is, we think we've built a solid track record in our public market business. This is a snapshot of our public market sector versus the rest of the world. I think we've built the case that common sense investing with a touch of activism can lead to great results. I think now we have a credible case to go out and seek more outside capital. I think when we started, we talked about our desire to manage outside capital. We've done so with a couple of SPVs, but I think the track record that we've built over the course of the last 2 years is going to give us a better case to make for more robust capital, perhaps in a new activist fund that we're contemplating as we sit here today. Next slide, please. This is just a look at our NAV change. Of course, we are only using a portion of our balance sheet for the public market investing that we do. So the NAV growth and public market returns will look a little different. All in all, though, fairly good success, both in 2017 and 2018. Next slide, please. We've talked to you about our desire to turn our business into 100% public market investing. This is going to take time. We think we've made substantial achievement and had some success in this area over the course of the last 2 years. We've taken our cash and public securities as a percentage of our assets from 26% up to 40%. Now, in Q4, we took a step back. We ended Q3 at 44% of our portfolio was in cash and liquid securities, and that number fell to 39.5%. But as you know, as I've talked to all of you, the more you can have in cash and liquid securities, the more narrow that discount will be for our share price to our NAV, as the market will have a better understanding of how to value our portfolio than just looking at our private holdings. Next slide, please. I touched on this earlier. Again, a lot can change here in the next month, but our public market gross weighted average increase of 4.8 million, or nearly 19%, has equated to a 15-cent gain in our NAV year to date. This doesn't take into consideration what our private portfolio will be doing, or clearly our expenses. But my point is that if the quarter was 5 months, we talk about a flat quarter. It's 3 months, so we have to talk about a 17-cent decline. Hopefully this quarter we'll be talking about a 15 or 16 or 17-cent gain. Who knows? We are managing your money not on a quarterly basis, but from start to finish. We think about investments over long periods of time. We're trying to build your capital. Unfortunately, the world stops, and we all keep score at the end of quarters, and we report on those quarters. But the idea is to grow the most money we can for you over a sustained period of time. We think we've done that. We have built two new positions in public companies. We may or may not talk about them when we report Q1, because we are building those positions currently. And one other note, the Canadian dollar has increased in value versus the U.S. dollar. And as you know, one of our holdings, D-Wave, a Canadian company, either benefits or gets hurt by the change in the dollar. Well, this change year to date has given us a penny per share increase in our NAV because of the Canadian dollar strength that we've seen year to date. With that, I will turn the call over to Daniel, and then I'll come back for concluding comments, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. Daniel?
Thank you, Kevin. Please turn to slide 15. As talked about earlier, we added one new position during the fourth quarter that we're ready to announce publicly. It's called Intermolecular. Intermolecular, the symbol is IMI. It provides semiconductor companies with materials development resources using its expertise, accelerated learning and experimentation platform, and information and analytics infrastructure. We've known of IMI since its founding. It was a venture-backed company, and have tracked its development over the years. We recently became reinterested in it because of the hiring of a new CEO, Chris Kramer. Chris was formerly at Entegris and was a customer of IMI. He had unique knowledge of both the specialized capabilities of the company and the problems with its prior business model. He and his team turned around the company, reset its business model, and signed new customers, including some of the leading semiconductor manufacturing companies in the world. The company has a pristine balance sheet with $30 million in cash and no debt, and its services generate 60 to 70% gross margins. We took advantage of a distribution of shares by one of the venture capital investors to establish our initial position and have been adding to it throughout the rest of the quarter and into the first quarter of 2019. Please turn to slide 16. As we said in prior calls and letters, we continue to believe our private portfolio contains companies that can generate material, meaningful returns on invested capital. As of the end of the year, our most mature private portfolio companies, D-Wave, AgBiome, Nanosys, and Origin, were valued at approximately $30 million in aggregate, or over half the total value of our private portfolio, and more than what the market actually was valuing our private portfolio at the end of the year. There are other private companies within our portfolio. However, these companies are in the early stages of development, and the timelines and potential exit values for these companies are highly uncertain. As a reminder, following the sale of our shares of HZO to unnamed investors for an aggregate price of $7 million in the third quarter of 2018, we continue to look for opportunities to monetize our private portfolio investments in transactions that we believe are in the best interests of our shareholders. Towards this goal, we were able to sell our convertible note in genome profiling to an unnamed investor in January of 2019 for the principal amount of the note of $230,000 plus unpaid accrued interest. While not as material as our sale of shares of HZO, it is a continued step in our efforts to monetize our private holdings so we have additional capital to put to work in our public investment strategy. Please turn to slide 17. As we have discussed in our prior calls, we have greatly reduced our operating expenses, which will make it far easier to grow NAV than in years past. For the fourth quarter of 2018, our operating expenses were essentially flat versus the same quarter in 2017. I note that these figures do not include sublease income, which was the same in the fourth quarter of both years. Please turn to slide 18 and 19. As we discussed on all of our past quarter calls, we currently anticipate that reductions in our operating expenses as a percentage of the net assets will be based on growth in our net assets rather than further reductions in our expenses. This slide shows that we continue to make progress on that front. With estimated operating expenses as a percentage of net assets, including and excluding year-end bonus accruals from each year, if there were any, although there wasn't any this year, from those of last year due primarily to an increase in our net assets. Last quarter, we also mentioned that we may make investments in our business by adding to our investment staff, which would increase our operating expenses. We will only pursue such a hire if we believe that investment will help us grow 180's net asset value. Kevin already mentioned this, but given the performance during the quarter, management recommended and our compensation committee agreed that the investment team would not receive a bonus for 2018. Our compensation committee did determine that 2018 met the persistent performance goals from the deferred bonus from 2017, so half of the deferred amount was paid to management. The remaining half will only be paid if such performance is persistent through 2019. We remain committed to treating every dollar of shareholder money with the utmost care and consideration. It is much easier for us to grow NAV when the expense hurdle rate is where it is today. I'll now turn the call back over to Kevin.
Thanks, Daniel. Q4 2018 was brutal. We suffered along with it, albeit not as bad. And the year 2018 was challenging. Although I would say as we sit here today, we certainly survived. Being up last year, albeit a small amount, was an achievement that not a lot of funds can say they had positive returns. If you look at our scorecard on page 20, we grew our NAV, our cash and public portfolio securities went up, and our expenses went down. And we also managed more third-party capital than we did in 2017. So, our stock price declined. Not happy about that, as you know. And our discount to NAV actually widened. Not happy about that either, as you all know. But in terms of managing the business, sort of controlling what we can control, we think that, as I said, not only did we survive 2018, but I think the world can point to our performance as one of the elite performers in all of 2018, certainly Lipperwood. Slide 21 is the sum of the parts. We do this for you every quarter. Basically, we start with our share price. We then say what is the value of our publicly traded portfolio companies, 80 cents a share, add back the cash, take other non-investment assets per share, and we end up that our total non-private portfolio net assets per share are $1.03, meaning the world is paying us 72 cents per share for our private portfolio. And given that we've marked our private portfolio at $1.61, even though we show overall a stock that trades at two-thirds of its NAV, if you actually look at what the market is paying for us for our private portfolio, you'll see that it's really 44 cents on the dollar. Recall last year that we returned capital in the form of HZO, not only at NAV, but at a premium to NAV. So we certainly think the market has misinterpreted the value of our private portfolio. It's up to us to monetize it over time. Lastly, on slide 22, our goals or our vision for 180. We want 180 to be known as a prominent and dominant leader in our world of public company constructive activism. We think we've had a number of successes already to speak of, Turtle Beach, certainly the street. We hope to have another one lined up that we'll be able to hopefully share with you sooner rather than later. We will always continue to strive for excellence in investment management performance. If you cannot pick stocks, Yeah, you don't deserve other people's money to manage. And our job is excellence in investment performance. We think we've proven that we can do this. I'm pretty proud of the track record that we've developed. We need to continue along on the same path. We want to be known as game changers in helping businesses generate positive shareholder returns. Activism means a lot of things to a lot of people. We call our activism collegial or constructive. I would ask the management and the board of the street to ask them, you know, was 180 constructive in helping turn a 80-cent stock into a $2.20 stock in basically 15 months? We are aligned with you. I said it earlier. Management owns nearly a million shares. The window has been closed for us since we reported the quarter. For us to be successful, we must increase the price of our stock. We've said that from day one. That is how we keep score at the end of the day. And I certainly know when I go home at night, I know that the turn stock price will greatly affect my net worth and the net worth of the management team and the board. So we are clearly aligned with shareholders on that front. With that, we will open it up for questions. I've already decided that the first couple of words for my next shareholder letter, if things continue the way they have gone in 2019, is going to be never mind, meaning never mind all that we've said in our last quarterly report when we reported Q4. With that, Daniel, why don't we open it up for questions?
Sounds good. And if you have a question, please type *6 on your phone or click the Ask a Question icon if you are participating via computer. We'll give a minute to fill in the queue. Hi, please go ahead.
Hey, guys, it's Bryant Riley. Congrats. I mean, being in the front lines of small cap, certainly seen the difficulties of that market. You guys did an amazing job. Can you help us understand AgBiome and D-Wave? How big are those companies? How do you value them? Are there, you know, is there private share sales? Just given it's such a big piece of the portfolio value, can you just provide a little clarity there?
Yeah, I'll let first off, Brian, thank you very much for your comments. I'll let Daniel comment on D-Wave and AgBiome, and maybe I'll have something to add.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. A great question. And so taking a step back, every quarter we go through a robust valuation process. The values are prepared by management with supporting information, and they're actually set at the end of the day by our valuation committee, which is made up of all of our independent directors. Most of the time you have situations where companies, and especially with a company like a D-Wave or an AgBiome, where they're really just building their businesses. They are starting to generate revenues. They're starting to figure out their longer-term business models. But oftentimes they also do raise capital in those in those endeavors and as they're building them. And so we often will use a most recent round of financing as a base on which we will then work to derive value, or if there was a material secondary transaction that occurred, and that gives us an indication to what the value of those shares that we hold may be. And we use option pricing models, which has become standard in the industry as part of deriving value when you have complicated capital structures. For a company like an AgBiome or a D-Wave, both of those companies have actually had either a financing event or a secondary transaction within meaningful secondary transaction within a year of the valuation date. And so those are the primary inputs to value as of at least this current date.
I would say, Brian, there are two biggest positions by a country mile. They matter the most. I think most of our investors, when they think of us, they always ask about D-Wave because it's an artificial intelligence quantum computing company that has oodles and oodles of IP and brilliant engineers and have basically developed answers to questions that haven't even been asked anymore, or that haven't even been asked. And so the amount of technology, brain power that's there is substantial. We think this company's been around for a long time. It's a mature company in terms of its notoriety and the amount of financing they've done. They need to monetize themselves over the course of the next 2 years. We hope they will. It's a very important company up in Canada. It's Canada's prize jewel as it relates to technology. AgBiome, so while I think that investors always ask us about D-Wave, we think that our best private business that we own is AgBiome. It's in the seed world. It's run by an unbelievable collection of brilliant CEO and his management team. We think they're doing the right thing. They're setting up holding companies for their businesses. Each round of financing they've been done has garnered more and more demand and therefore a higher price. There's actually a business there as well. They got big both companies have big valuations, though, in the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars as opposed to in the 20 or 30 or 50 millions of dollars. So these are really big businesses.
Got it. So I'm sorry. I missed that. So the market, the rough valuations or your percentage ownership of AgBiome is roughly what percent?
Yeah, we don't disclose exactly what our value, okay. The exact amount is because the other investors get unhappy when we do that. But it ranges what we've said is AgBiome is somewhere between 5 and 7.5%. D-Wave is somewhere between 2.5 and 5%.
So Brian, we're always asked, you know, why don't you just monetize them, or why don't you make them go public, or why don't you make them sell themselves? In these cases, we aren't controlling shareholders.
Yep.
And so there's only a certain amount of push that we can give in that they'll listen. We're just not a controlling shareholder. That doesn't mean the companies aren't doing the right things and that there's other shareholders that have greater interest that aren't aligned with us, because they are in both cases. But it's these are not controlling positions.
Got it. All right. Well, you guys truly, I mean, I think you've done a great job. You deserve more outside capital. And I know you took on a lot of positions and you've done a lot to move the needle. So congratulations, and appreciate it as a shareholder.
Very nice of you to say, Brian. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. Hi, please go ahead.
I think maybe it's up to me, Dan. This is Al Shams here in Atlanta, Georgia. So I reiterate, Brian's comments, good work in a very tough time. Looking at intermolecular, interestingly enough, I've got a position in that thing myself, so kind of an interesting coincidence. But I've noticed that a gentleman by the name of Neil Subin sold about 250,000 shares recently. And then another gentleman, Miller Lloyd, I think he passed away about a year or so ago. I think his estate has a lot of stock. Could you comment relative to those two transactions?
Yeah, so Lloyd Miller, Neil Subin is managing the foundation of Lloyd Miller, I believe. And therefore, okay. When it says Neil Subin ownership, it really is the foundation or the holdings for
okay.
Lloyd Miller when he passed.
Okay.
Couple comments there. Many times when you go through a market meltdown and you're staring at your screen and you're wondering why on God's earth is this going down this much? What am I missing? You always say, "What am I missing? What am I missing?" Daniel and I would be yelling at each other in Q4. And then, quite frankly, sometimes you look back, you're like, we really weren't missing anything other than there was a market meltdown and there was forced liquidations. And we always hear forced liquidations. Well, they actually do occur, and they actually are real. And in Q4, I highlighted for you the Lipper and the hedge fund data. But we also knew that there were a number of LPs that were literally selling positions at the end of the year, regardless of price, and Intermolecular's fourth biggest holding did just that. We were aware of that, that one of their LPs, one of the companies that had owned Intermolecular when it was private, they came public, they retained their position, the fund closed, and they distributed all that stock to its LPs at the end of Q4, and we knew that was coming, and that's why we were there with a basket at 94 cents a share at the end of the year. I don't know any more about what Neil Subin is doing other than he sold stock the other day. I don't know if that means there's more stock for sale or not. We like to keep our ears peeled to all trading desks to make sure that if events like Q4 happen where one LP sells 4 million shares in one day, if somebody else is going to do the same thing, well, we love this business. We think it's worth $2 over time. We think the CEO is doing a fantastic job. We think that there's ample cash on the balance sheet. We want to be ready. And so, if that stock is for sale, then we're on the buy side. And if it's not for sale, then it's not. But if it trades, you can expect us to be part of that trade.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks. Good work.
Okay, Al, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you have a question, please type *6 on your phone or click the Ask a Question icon. Seeing no more questions in the queue.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Of course, if there's any comments or questions that you have, feel free to reach us in the office or by email. I'm glad 2018 is over. It was a brutal quarter and a tough year, but as I said earlier, we not only do we think we survived it, we think we actually can put our performance against most other funds and be very proud. So we'll continue to work hard for the benefit of all of our shareholders, and we look forward to reporting to you our Q1 in just a couple of months. So thanks very much, and have a great day.
Thank you. You can all disconnect now.
Goodbye.